We have a couple of examples of the transmission of faith. Timothy held a special place in Paul's heart. He calls him his dearly beloved son. Spiritually, Paul was Timothy's father. We think Timothy was probably a relatively young church leader who was maybe struggling with the call on his life and just not too sure of himself. But Paul was a seasoned leader who was able to come alongside and try to encourage that young man in his work. And I see a second component of that faith transmission in this passage. Verse 5 talks about a pure faith that dwelt first in Timothy's grandmother Lois, also in his mother Eunice, and with Timothy. Then we have a three-generation transmission of that faith. We don't know a lot about Timothy's father except that he was a Greek. And I think that part makes it especially interesting that Paul considered Timothy his son, and I think he, in a way, stepped in to be that spiritual father for Timothy. Parents, ideally, and I think naturally, sense the importance of their influence on the lives of their children. Older people that are committed to an organization, they want to see younger people rising up and embracing the values of that organization. Institutions tend to fade and die when the next generation doesn't capture the vision and the goals of that institution. We need to pass on the torch of faith. You know, in life, there's different metaphors that are used to kind of describe this transmission. The passing of the torch probably refers to the Olympic torch that is lit in Olympia and then carried by runners or by land, by air, whatever, to the venue where the Olympics are held in that given year. A similar word picture is the relay race. Many of you that grew up and attended a school were involved in relay races. Usually four different members of one team combine and they pass that baton from one runner to the next runner and they compete against other teams of four. You know, a skillful handoff is extremely, extremely important or essential to the success of that team. A team can possess the four fastest, most skillful, most qualified runners in the entire stadium, but there's obvious problems if the baton gets dropped. Apparently, the handoff between Lois and Eunice was a good handoff, and apparently the handoff between Eunice and Timothy was a good handoff. But not all handoffs are good. We can look just in the Bible to see examples of handoffs that weren't that exemplary, not that successful. We have the old priest, Eli, serving the people of God in the Old Testament. Eli was serving God's people, and I think he was serving a good role. Likely, I don't know how well, but what about Hophni and Phinehas, his sons? Let me just read a few verses from 1 Samuel. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. These aren't in sequence here. I'm just kind of picking here. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Somehow something wasn't right. And you remember the familiar story how God came to Samuel at night, and Samuel was the messenger that carried that message of condemnation to Eli, significantly regarding his sons. What about Samuel? Remarkable prophet, used in tremendous ways in the life of the children of Israel. What about his sons? 1 Samuel 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Eli, Samuel, both leaders, both with sons who disgrace God's name. Many people make poor decisions. The baton is dropped. I think the enemy of our souls loves it when people are supporting His kingdom, His agenda. And if those children are sons of prominent godly men or sons of prominent Christian organizations, I think He's especially gleeful. So when the baton is dropped, do you think it's more the problem of the oncoming generation, the second runner, the next runner? Is it more the problem of the one who's doing the handoff? I think the problem lies in both courts. Let me just look at a few things together, as I think things that impede the successful transmission or handoff of that baton. We look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. We see some examples there, maybe even on both sides of the fence. I think the prodigal son had an entitlement mentality. Give me my inheritance. I want to be off and get on with life. We can often take for granted the blessings that we have. We can come to church. We can be fed. Most of us had the privilege of growing up in Christian homes. Most of us are fairly solidly middle class. We can take for granted those things that are there, and we enjoy them. We can have an entitlement mentality. I think the prodigal son may have had a disdain for his solid background. It talks about once he got out there, he wasted his life with riotous living. You know, I think there was something about that that was inaccessible to him before, but now he could just indulge in. But alas, he woke up, found out that that new lifestyle was not sustainable. Not sustainable. We can disdain our solid background. We can be just indifferent or apathetic. I don't care. Young people can shrug off things with a shrug of the shoulders. People make decisions where they trade off their birthright for a bowl of pottage. Our indifference can easily switch the labels on things that are trivial and things that should not be negotiated. We can be selectively forgetful. Imagine the people of Israel, the children of Israel. They left Egypt after all that abuse and terribleness. Boy, they weren't out there very long. They were wishing to be back there for the leeks and garlics that were back in Israel. People tend to live lives in reaction. Have you been around people who are always seeking the contrary part? You're planning a picnic. Someone suggests hamburgers, baked beans, potato salad. The reactor may say, nope. I think we ought to have potato chips, hot dogs, and watermelon. But if someone else had suggested the hot dogs first, they may have been lobbying for the hamburgers. You know, it's amazing how easy it is for us to gang up on what is and to defend what isn't. We can do that in our life choices as well. What are the problems with the person who is handing off, or what are potential problems with the person who's doing the handoff, not the person who's receiving? Indifference, I think, can be the problem for the one handing off as well as the one receiving. You know, it's kind of easy for us to zone out when it's our children who are causing the disturbance. Somehow, as if ignoring the problem could make it go away, we assume accountability when we are in a position of influence. And I think that's important that we assume that. It can be a lack of diligence. Eli knew his sons were vile, but he restrained them not. We can be just lazy. We can be inattentive. We're taking things for granted. You know, the elder son in Luke 15 was expressing the anger and the frustration of a father who apparently he felt was not recognizing his solid contribution, his solid behavior. His view might have been skewed. But we can be inattentive as leaders, as parents. Our encouragement can be a tremendous positive influence. Our followers can follow who we are instead of what we say. I think that can be a real problem in the way that the baton gets handed off sometimes. It has been said that children tend to live out the inner values that their parents possess. In a way, I think that would be neat. If we are true blue, through and through, what better values could we possibly transmit? What better fruit could we expect? But the flip side of that equation is the troubling part. If we are inwardly very materialistic, but outwardly restrained, Will our children live an extravagant life of excess following our inner motivation? If we struggle with lust, will they live out the lust that we suppress? We can do right things with the wrong motives. I'll admit it's easier to maintain a calm voice on the job if I see that the customer is within earshot. But God is always on the job site. Seeing hypocrisy in others isn't all that attractive. Well, let's look very quickly at a couple of positive ways to encourage a smooth handoff. Be involved. Paul wanted to see Timothy succeed. I can imagine how encouraging his letters must have been to a young man who was maybe struggling with his call. Paul wouldn't have had to stay engaged. He could have opted out, citing stress and an overbooked schedule. Be a mentor. Paul was mentoring Timothy. A mentor can be hugely important in the life of another. Be real. Be motivated with genuine love. Be proactive. Are we concerned? Are we praying? Are we involved? And be serious about passing the baton. You know, a baby may stumble and hurt himself as he's learning to walk. That's very common in the process. A baby with an overprotective mother may never get hurt, but may never learn to walk, which is a greater tragedy. You know, there can be ill will or pain for an older person to be handing off the baton to a younger person. But there's something beautiful about seeing the fresh energy of that new runner take that baton and move it forward closer to the finish line than he was ever able to do. In conclusion, in a very real way this morning, we're in a transition zone. It's time for the baton to be handed off in our Sunday school year. I'm honored with the privilege that you gave Joseph and me to provide some leadership for the adult Sunday school this year. I've enjoyed the opportunity to serve in different ways to keep the system flowing. Enjoyed even processing with you together in these meditations in the morning. But I'm looking forward to handing off the baton to Brian and Gideon. This morning, if you're passing off a baton, be firm and sure with your handoff. If you're about to receive a baton, get a solid grip on it. Keep your eye on the goal and purpose that you will guard it carefully until your turn to pass it on to the next person. Let's kneel in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this scripture this morning from 2 Timothy. We thank you that Paul was willing to come alongside, to stay alongside Timothy and to encourage him. I just pray, dear God, that we could be serious about the transmission of our faith, about the passing on of our baton this morning. Just pray that we could, whichever side of the passing lane that we're on, that we could see our responsibility and realize that life is serious. Life is real and the grave is not its goal. I just pray that you would give us all courage in this church, this Sunday school year, in the coming Sunday school year, to seek meaningful ways to transmit our faith, to pass the torch to the next generation. Just go with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, this brings us to Sunday school. The teachers for the children's classes are dismissed. And all the children's classes are dismissed. The adult lesson today is Romans chapter 3, 21 through chapter 4, verse 12. Next Sunday is chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. And all of you can be dismissed to your classes.
It's not any of the way the works of the law call us in. It brings us to God's righteousness. But it's the believing, and this is not nature. This is just kind of a desperate information of what we need. So it's the righteousness of God that takes us to the right hand. Instead of doing this, takes us to God. I see that I don't prove it.
Talk about how we are, right? Or
that before or after that he was circumcised?
I think it would be all right.
As before.
Okay.
Going further, we show that Abraham is the father of all those that believe by faith, Jew or Gentile.
Okay, we are right.
Okay. And I think that's in Galatians, where he says that Abraham is the spiritual father of all those that believe.
The last week he talks about the
matter. I thought it was kind of interesting. He was circumcised. Not to
justice.
Not to say that circumcision is what
I
I
Thank you.
sing 107. And if you're able, please join me in standing. 107.
Immortal, invisible, God.
I like the way here a number of weeks ago that Brother Merle opened this time when he drew attention to 1 Corinthians 14:26 as a possible format for this time. And I'll read that in the Amplified as follows. What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information, an utterance in a strange tongue, or an interpretation of it. But let everything be constructive and edifying and for the good of all. And so we have this time, and it's your time. I would like to start with a word from Carla. Carla had intended to convey some of these thoughts the Sunday before she left for Mexico, but then ended up being in Colorado for Esther's funeral, and so Carla wasn't here to share her thoughts. She is, of course, now in Mexico teaching English, and here is what. Here's what she says. Dear church family, there were several things that I had wanted to convey this summer before I left. Ernst Neufeld, one of the Oasis pastors, sent greetings to the church here. And number two, a big thank you for the love offering you gave me. I appreciate it and the support behind it. Three, it was so good to be with you this summer, to reconnect with some of you, to participate in services again, and to share communion with you. I missed the center church services and the fellowship a lot last year, and it was really special to be in on both again. I value my connection with you. Thank you so much for your prayers and support. Many times last year, I keenly felt the prayers of the people behind us and saw God provide for us in many ways. I bless him and thank you for your vital part in that. School is off to a good start, for which I'm grateful. Continued prayers for strength and wisdom would be appreciated. May the Lord continue to bless your faithful service to him and others. Sincerely, Carla. And now what do you have to share? Could you bring the mic forward for Frida?
Maybe it was last summer when there was a topic given about how to support your missionaries. And I just wanted to express my appreciation to you. There were a number of you that specifically said, we are praying for you. And I really appreciate that. I felt like out of that topic came just more of an awareness. And I know that sometimes it's easy to feel like after you've been gone for a while that people kind of, you know, the hole has closed over and life goes on without you. But I do really appreciate the effort that this church fellowship makes to stay connected, and just your prayers especially. So appreciate that. And I'll be leaving on Tuesday, early Tuesday morning to go back to China. So I appreciate your prayers, especially in the first few weeks, because the adjustment is always the hardest those first few weeks.
Well, we will miss you again, and we want to be supporting you in prayer. It's probably a significant change from fellowship of a Sunday morning to this size group to the size that you're in, so yes. In the Quaker church, it is not unusual to have long periods of silence, and so we can also have that. So. We could also sing 450. All right, sure, Shane, would you leave?
Deeper, deeper.